welcome to the Final Siren podcast. It's episode 161, and we're going to do something a little bit different today. With Talent League footy on hiatus and the national championships behind us, we're going to have a bit of fun. I'm your host, Michael Avara, and today I'm joined by Liam Badkin to kick off what might become a recurring series. We're doing our own draft, 5 picks each, with today's criteria being AFL number one draft picks. Before we get underway, of course, Liam, how are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm happy to be here. This is going to be quite a bit of fun, and yeah, I can't wait to pick the better team.
Yeah, well, good luck with that. It's good to hear that you're well and excited to be here. We're going pick for pick today, of course, with the national draft number ones. First one being in 1981, we've had a few very, very good players be pick one. Of course, though, it doesn't mean that the best player from each draft goes number one, as we found out doing our minimal research. So we got to decide who goes number one in the number one draft. So maybe we'll do a coin toss. I think, you know, tails I win, heads you lose.
Okay, I've thought about that, and I don't quite agree to those terms and conditions. I read the fine print, so I'm just going to go.
Maybe we'll do a paper, scissors, rock.
Okay.
All right, so we don't have the camera on for this one, so you just have to believe what happens. All right, so I'll say paper, scissors, rock, and then we show.
Okay,
yeah?
Yep.
All right, paper, scissors, rock. Do it again. All right, so Liam wins. He's gone with paper. I've gone with rock.
Fantastic.
You're going with the first selection?
I will. I'll have the first selection. And all right. It was a pretty obvious one. Do you mind if I get us underway?
Yeah, go for it.
I'm going to take Mr. September himself, Luke Hodge. I mean, the accolades speak for themselves when it comes to this guy. 3-time All-Australian, premiership captain, you know, Norm Smith medalist. I think that his resume speaks for himself. He's etched himself as an immortal of the game. You could always count on this guy when the big games were on the line. Showed a fair bit of versatility too. You know, we know how strong that Super Draft was.
2001,
of course. Yeah, there probably could have been some, you know, stronger selections in there. But in terms of a number one pick who completely lived up to where he was selected, I think Luke Hodge is certainly, you know, the best of the best there. He was as reliable as it came in finals. Tough, hard as nails, an old school footy player, extremely skilled on both sides of his body. And yeah, an easy number one pick for me.
Yeah, it would have been my number one as well. So you've done well, needless to say. It's probably a bit of an easy one, to be honest. But you made the pick. Mm-hmm. That leaves me with probably another relatively easy one. Going to go with the man who was taken the year before him, Nick Riewoldt, 2000's number one draft pick, 336 games, long-time captain of St Kilda and 718 goals, 6-time BNF, 5-time All-Australian. He was a rising star, 4-time leading goal kicker, bloke did it all. One of the best key forwards of our game and really changed the way that those tall forwards play. I remember his tank was absolutely enormous. Got up the ground, didn't just sort of sit inside 50. He had a bit of dynamism. So somewhat of a revolutionary player, definitely a modern day key forward and perhaps the start of them. So Nick Riewoldt is my number one.
Just the consistency with him as well. Like,
yeah.
I think it's worth mentioning how for a key forward, I think a lot of the time their bodies have to be managed a lot more because they're playing much more of a physical role, especially Nick, who was, as you said, absolutely lumbering up and down the field constantly. But for him to sort of maintain that level of output across 15-odd seasons is remarkable. And yeah, as was the case with my first pick, that would have been my next selection as well.
All right, so we're going to go pick 2 for Liam. There's still a few good ones on the board, obviously.
Yeah. You're taking. There is, okay, so this was a lot more difficult than I actually anticipated because I think that the number one and the number two were, you know, as clear cut as it came. And as we've discussed off air, it's pretty tricky to sort of balance potential of those who have been selected more recently versus body of work of guys who have finished their careers already. But I will be favoring the latter with my third pick and I will be taking Riewoldt's teammate, Brendan Goddard, with my second pick there. Yep. He was, of course, the following year after Hodge, so we're sort of sitting around the same era here, 2002, and there was a little patch there where this guy was up there with the best players in the competition. was certainly a key factor in St Kilda's success in the late 2000s and early 2010s. We all remember the mark in the grand final, but in terms of a guy who could play halfback or rotate on the ball, he was one of St Kilda's most dangerous weapons in what was a really talented side. You know, he was a two-time All-Australian, was solid enough when he went to Essendon. We all remember, unless you're a pretzel, I don't think they don't think they like him over there. But yeah, Goddard was great. He was aerially probably, you know, one of the best midfielders in the competition in that sense. He was really strong and quite a big body and a big build as well. He was getting a lot of attention week in, week out due to his consistent play. And yeah, it was a tricky situation on paper for me to pick, but I sort of looked at what he was able to achieve. He played 330 odd games, so he was able to do it consistently, and he was my next selection.
Yeah, good one. I did have fingers crossed for BJ, as Mark Stevens did all those years ago, but I'm actually pretty happy that you made the decision for me, because the guy I'm going for with my second pick is one of the great Carlton players of this era, Mark Murphy. Yeah. He was among that sort of string. He was the first one of three number one picks for the Blues. Obviously, I am a Blues man, so I'm perhaps a bit biased, but I'm going with the 2005 number one, 300 games on the dot. Crawled to that mark a little bit towards the end of his career as sub so many times in his final year, but at his best, he was undeniably classy. One of the best smaller mids, sort of had that, I guess he wasn't overly quick, but really agile and evasive, super smart at the contest. One-time All-Australian and also the AFL Coaches Association Player of the Year in 2011. I think that's an underrated accolade amongst some of the best players. And that was one of Carlton's best seasons, I guess, in the last 25 years, which has been a pretty rough patch. Two-time best and fairest as well, also a long-time captain, taking over from Chris Judd. So a sneaky good player.
Yep.
But if you know, you know. Yeah. Definitely one of the best. And yeah, for me, deserving of being my number one or my number two pick in the number one draft. So we're going to move on to your third. You've got Hodge, Brendan Goddard, and who?
I am going to slightly lean in the favour of this guy could be something pretty special by the end of his career. And I'm going to take another blue, and that's Sam Walsh.
Yep.
I've got a feeling that you were keen to snap him up next.
Yep.
But I'm going to take him just in terms of what this guy was able to do early on in his career. He's already made a name for himself as one of the premier midfielders in the competition. Unfortunately, he's been a bit hampered by injury as it stands. But, you know, this guy won the Rising Star. He's already an All-Australian a couple of years ago. One mark of the year too, which I think is a bit of a, yep. Yeah, people sort of forget about that. But yeah, cleaned up the awards in his first season, completely justifying the number one selection there. He's a tough midfielder, but he can play inside and out. And I think that's one of the things that he's bringing to the Blues midfield, which has a lot of inside midfielders. He's asked to play a few different roles at times, whether it's half forward, whether it's on the wing or on the ball, sort of providing that outside run, but he's quite flexible in terms of what he's able to do. I still think that this guy can, you know, become a top two midfielder in the competition if his body stays right. We know it's hard for him to stay on the park at the moment, which is obviously never good, but I'm really liking what I've seen from him so far, and I'm sure as a Blues supporter, you'd be pretty happy with what he's done as well. So yeah, he's my number three pick there, because I think that this guy can still become something pretty special.
And if you're drafting that 2018 draft again,
mm-hmm.
Obviously, he was number one. Connor Rosey is probably right up there with him as the best player. So, who are you taking out of them two?
Out of those two? That's a really tough one. I think it's hard because initially in those first 2 years, you're easily taking Walsh, sorry.
Yep.
But I think I may now be leaning towards Rosey simply because he's been able to produce a little bit more. He's had quite a clean run of injuries. You know, Butters as well, though. You got Butters in that draft too. So, look, you could split any one of them. I think I'm probably going to take... I think I'm going to take Butters first, but I am a massive Zach Butters fan. I like an old-school, tough footy player. And then, you know, the other two, you could flip a coin, probably Rosie Walsh. What about you?
Thank you for the question without notice, as I did to you,
yes.
Actually, to be fair. I'm just going to go with the order they were picked in.
Yeah?
Yep. All so, right. Walsh, Rosie, Butters.
Yeah. Well, we know that all three are going to have seriously good careers, and they've all started that. So
and it absolutely does not matter at all. At the end of the day, it's, it's a bit of a frustrating question, but I mean, we're in that business at the moment. Yep. I'm going to move on to pick three for me, and you've taken a blue. I'm going to take a Tiger. Brett Deledio, 2004 number one, 275 games for the Tigers and the Giants, let's not forget, was a two-time All-Australian and best and fairest. At his best, an electric player, could play on the flanks at either end of the ground, chuck him into the middle to pinch hit, just quick, super good at kicking running goals as well.
Mm-hmm.
Underrated skill, but that was his style of play. And of course, it was unlucky that he, I guess he sort of up and left the Tigers just as they got good.
One of the worst days of my life,
yeah.
Yeah,
and
awful.
I don't think you could have found a Richmond supporter who spoke badly about him for it. Definitely not at the time. Maybe since, because he's spoken about it a bit more openly. But yeah, what a gun. I mean, it's terrific to watch it. And he was a number one who sort of hit the ground running as well. Yep. Richmond was a pretty poor team back then, and he's been good throughout, and maybe not towards the back end of his career. He sort of had a lot of injuries after being so consistent and durable, but it was so good.
Yeah, one of the things that was massive about Brett Deledio's career is, and is the case with a lot of guys that we've talked about today, but he walked into that Richmond side and he was the man. That was, the club was like, right, this is our future around this one guy here. Because like you said, we were kind of stagnant, mediocre at that stage. And he was, so exciting. We played him everywhere. It was just, absolutely line-breaking. Could win a match off his own boot too, which I think is really important. So a really good pick by you. And I'm quite frustrated that I wasn't able to select him myself.
But you do have pick four, so
I do
have
pick four. And this one has taken a lot of deliberating. But I am going to take Lachie Whitfield.
Yeah, that's a sneaky good pick. Yeah. Looking back at his accolades, go on.
I'm looking at the list of players that have been drafted with the number one pick, and I'm not sure that there's been a better kick amongst that group, which I know is a huge call, but in terms of what this guy can do, like, I still consider him, when he's on the park, one of, if not the best field kick in the competition. You know, he perfectly weights them. He's been huge in the Giants' little resurgence. He's already made an All-Australian team, played 200-odd games. So we know that he's got a fair bit of longevity about him. He's a smooth mover. They use him on the wing. They use him off half-back. And he sets up a lot of their play with his ball movement too. He's really important to GWS's sort of system. He's already won a couple of best and fairest as well. In a Giants side that is quite stacked with talent, obviously, we know that they've got some really good players. So I think that he's going to go down as probably a 300-game player for the Giants and could be, you know, in their top three best players ever by the time his career is done. Obviously, I know it's a short history there, but I really like what I see from Lachie Whitfield. And in terms of pure talent as a footballer, I think that he's right up there.
Yeah. No, not a bad pick. I mean, I can see why you've done it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it would have gone a little lower for me. There's a few who I'm deliberating. There's a few in the old school, the sort of 90s players who I'm just taking a look at and weighing up sort of individual accolades between a few compared to, I guess, longevity and playing in good teams.
Yep.
So, and as I don't know if I mentioned this, but there is only one number one pick to have won the Brownlow Medal. I'm not gonna pick him though.
Oh.
I'm gonna go with Drew Banfield from left field.
That is
So not the most decorated individual player, but a two-time premiership player who played 265 games, great longevity in that West Coast team because he won a premiership in the 90s and he won one in the early 2000s. So he was durable as all hell and actually has a son coming through the pathways, Bailey. So he was overlooked for the draft last year. But
not the Bailey Banfield that's already in the AFL.
No, not that one.
Yeah.
I think they have met, actually, obviously both being West Aussies playing footy there. So I think they've come into contact with each other, which is pretty cool. But I like seeing Drew Banfield's name because, I used to have his footy card and I just remember him being pretty tough, hard at it and reliable. So I like that kind of player. And I've gone with him over maybe a few more decorated ones. But you've got your last pick, Liam. So who are you going with?
Yeah, my last pick. And I think that given my team, I'm going to give a little bit of love to some to a bit of key position here. And I'm going to go back a little bit too. And I'm going to take Darren Gaspar.
Yes.
The Tigers backman who, well, obviously started at Sydney as well.
Yep.
But like you said, he had plenty of longevity, played 228 games, which isn't bad for how physical the game was back then and some of the key forwards that he ended up lining up on. But, you know, he was one of the most consistent parts of that Richmond team, you know, the late 90s to the early 2000s, where they did end up sort of building towards something a little bit. But, you know, he faced off against some of the best key forwards that the game's ever seen and was rewarded with a couple of All-Australian honours in 2000 and 2001. Took out the Tigers BNF in 2001 and was also the runner-up in 2000. So he's got the individual accolades next to his name. Obviously didn't quite, you know, reach the team success that some of the other guys here may have. But, yeah, he was one of the best key defenders in the competition for quite some time. Obviously injuries sort of ended his career a little bit earlier than he might have liked. But, yeah, he was just great in terms of being able to stop some of the biggest bag kickers we've ever seen. You know, Tony Lockett, Jason Dunstall, and then later on as it goes on, you know, you've got some other young guys coming through, but he was still matching up on them. So yeah, with my fifth pick, I'm gonna go back in time a little bit and take him.
Yep. Well, I'm gonna look to the future with my last selection. I'm hoping this bloke doesn't burn me because I mean, could happen. Mm-hmm. He's looking pretty good at the moment. I'm going with Jason Horne-Francis. Could be anything. Obviously, there was a big battle between he and Nick Daicos in their draft year as to who was the best prospect. I had Nick Daicos number one. He obviously went pick four, so ineligible here. Mm-hmm. To be honest, I might have even taken him one or two if he was there. But Jason Horne-Francis, yeah, as I said, could be a very good player. He's already just shown his potential. Obviously, he's had a lot to deal with over his short career, but he looks pretty settled now at Port Adelaide and starting to find his feet in a really good, promising midfield with guys we mentioned like Connor Rosie, Zach Butters. And I think he's a real difference maker, a guy who can pop up, win contested ball, kick goals at important times. You saw him do it as a junior playing senior footy with South Adelaide in Sample finals. So yeah, I'm going to back him in and hopefully he doesn't burn me. But we will talk about, obviously, after we wrap up our top five, just to recap, we'll talk about a few of the guys who missed out. And
yes,
I think there's going to be a lot of people jumping down our throat because there are some good players still on the board. Yeah. But to recap, Liam, you had Luke Hodge pick one, Brendan Goddard, Sam Walsh, Lockie Whitfield and Darren Gaspar.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Happy with that team, yep. Yeah,
it's a good five to have. I've gone with Nick Riewoldt, Mark Murphy, Brett Deledio, Drew Banfield, and Jason Horne-Francis. So, yeah, we'll let you guys decide. We'll probably will do a poll under the podcast if you're listening on Spotify as to who had the better selection. Obviously, Liam had the advantage with pick one of the number ones.
Yes.
But moving on to a few who were stiff to miss, I'll let you take, I guess, first pick of who you might have gone with.
Well, we've got to talk about the elephant in the room, and that is Adam Cooney.
Yeah.
Because he is the only number one pick to ever win a Brownlow. But it speaks volumes to just sort of how random that was, like that season in 2008. He was, you know, he was averaging like 27 disposals and a goal in that year. It was a ridiculous season, but was never sort of able to reach those heights again. So
had a lot of injury trouble after that. I think it was his knees playing up, and obviously spent time at Essendon as well in a pretty tough period for that club. So at his best, a good player to watch.
Yeah, great player to watch. Had a huge boot on him, massive boot, but was it was just a little bit out of nowhere.
Gets the good bloke factor as well.
Does get the good bloke factor. I think we all have a soft spot for Adam Cooney just because we were all pretty surprised by how it happened. But who's someone that you were quite interested by that missed out?
Yeah, so being a Carlton fan, luckily enough, I've got a few to pick from my own club. I ended up getting Mark Murphy. You took Sam Walsh. I was close to going Bryce Gibbs.
Yes, yeah.
268 games, one time best and fairest. I mean, at the end of the day, I thought he was probably better than that. And then what that suggests, at least.
Consistent.
He was definitely. And as a junior, one of the most freakish players. Like, he came into the system so highly touted. He was playing senior footy at Glenelg for a long time before he was drafted. Jacob Wiedering as well could be there. Like, 150 games he's just clocked up. One-time best and fairest. He's been close to All-Australian. So, yeah, could be around the mark. And I want to mention from, I guess, the newer players, David Swallow, 2010 number one. He's a games record holder at Gold Coast. Mm-hmm. I think he's won a couple BNFs as well. I mean, probably not of the class of some of the other ones there, but a solid one.
Yeah, well, we've got to mention. Well, I did think about Wiedering. I will admit he was on my short list, but I don't draft people that fall for those scams. But we've got...
That's rough.
We've got to mention Matt Rau as well. Like, I think this time a couple of years ago, you'd be taking him extremely high. Like, after that debut season, what we saw from his first handful of games, I think we were all extremely excited. We're not sure how much that injury is still taking its toll on him because he hasn't quite been able to take that next step, but he still is only quite young.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jamari Ugahagen as well, as that guy. I think it's taken him, he's been a bit of a slow burner, but we're starting to finally see what he can put out on the park there for the Bulldogs. You've got some, another, you know, Cruiser, Matthew Cruiser. He was a
big tractor.
Yeah, big tractor. Tom Boyd, obviously, for cult hero reasons. There's some other guys that obviously haven't been able to do it quite as well. But, you know, Tom Scully played a fair few games too. So that there's a lot of options out there.
Yeah, I think you've fallen off a little bit after maybe the last couple. But from the old school, I think worth mentioning Jeff White, over 250 games for Freo and Melbourne. His son, Kalani, is a draft prospect for a couple of years' time. So he is definitely not forgotten in this discussion. Michael Gardner.
the hero.
Yeah, West Coast and Saints. Didn't end up winning a premiership, I don't think. I think he was in the grand final team of 05 from memory. Had a little break in between.
Mm-hmm.
Then went to St Kilda. He was up there. Josh Fraser, another ruck.
Yes, big fella.
Now a coach in the VFL. He was handy in his day. Des Headland.
Premiership winner.
Yep. We like him. Yep. And Travis Johnston.
Yeah.
Bit of cult hero status. He wasn't too bad either.
Yeah.
All talented. And I don't know, maybe if we were born a little earlier, we could have considered them a bit more. Yep. You know, I probably put my neck on the line with good old Drew Banfield. So, and there's probably guys who are arguably more talented than Drew Banfield who were left on the board. But, you know, it is what it is.
Yep, no, for sure.
We have made our selections.
We can only judge based off what we've seen.
True.
So.
True. And, yeah, I mean, we are barely 90s kids as well. So bear that in mind before you kill us. But that's all we've got time for this episode of the Final Siren Podcast. Let us know your own top five for the number one picks. Obviously, it's going to be a little different to what we've got because we've had to split them into 10 players. But, let us know at Rookie Me Central on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I'm sure there's going to be plenty of contention and big opinions. Let us know as well what kind of other formats you'd like us to do because we wouldn't mind doing this regularly. Maybe even on Instagram, do a reel once a week, something like that. So we've got a few ideas, but if you've got any of your own, let us know. Other than that, Liam, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks very much for having me. This was good fun.
And thank you for tuning in. Hopefully we get a few more of these out by year's end. Pathway Footy returns this weekend and our power rankings drop on July 31. So make sure you tune in for all that. We'll catch you next time.